This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome in. This is it, the 18th and final episode of the Portland Winterhawks podcast. I'm your host, Andy Dirk-Johnson, and we're jumping right into it this week because it's not the ending to the podcast that we wanted, unfortunately, and hopefully we gave you enough time to let the wounds of the loss heal a little bit, and now let's look back on a special season, an exciting offseason, and another exciting year to come for Portland Winterhawks hockey. And joining me now, as always, is Nick Merrick, who just got a nice little vacation in for the offseason to begin. What's going on, Nick? How we doing, buddy?
Andy, doing great, doing great. I know for the fans who are waiting for this podcast episode, you and I were kind of talking. You know, we're supposed to be scheduled our last week. We said, you know what, this one stings a little bit more. Let's hang tight, because last week we were supposed to be talking about, the preview for the potential, Western Conference final with an opportunity to move into the WHL finals. So doing great over here, all things considered. Such a fantastic year for this team. I know it's going to be – it's kind of hard to always put into words right after the season ends, but now that we've had a couple weeks or so now to – you look back and see the success of the team and just how much this group really grew together and how promising the future is going to be. Obviously, it was an opportunity, and Mike Johnson kind of alluded to that at the end of the the last game there in Game 7 loss. It's a missed opportunity, and you don't like missing opportunities, because when you get a group that's as special as this team is, you don't want to squander it. But and hopefully it just builds the team a little strong going into next year. And you're right, it's officially off-season mode. I think it'll be a quick off-season. There's a lot of plans coming up. There's big things to look forward to. Neely Cup's going to come back, and we're excited to bring back fans for that. This year, after not having fan attendance for the last couple of seasons,
right.
And hopefully we just get right through this summer and fans enjoy a little time away from hockey. But the same right, we're right back at it in the fall.
That's right. I know it gets here before you know it. And I think too, letting a little bit of time pass between the end of a series, the end of a season, to then kind of recapping it, it does allow you to put things in perspective, because the emotions are running high, man. I can't even imagine what it was like for the players inside the locker room, for the coaches in that moment. I mean, let's go back to that, and just from your vantage point, what did you see? Game 5, Game 6, Game 7, they just couldn't find the net. They couldn't score to high levels. Give a lot of credit to Seattle for the way that they're playing, and they've had a great conference final series so far. Just what did you make of the way that series ended?
It hurts. It hurts. You obviously had 3 chances there to eliminate a rival. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about when the playoffs began, when you pretty much said put 4 teams in a hat, and those 4 teams would be Everett, Kamloops, Portland, and Seattle, and draw one. Yeah. Whatever name you put out, congratulations. That's just going to go in the represent the Western Conference in the WHL Finals. What's happening now? Portland and Seattle went to a Game 7. Now we have Seattle and Kamloops going to a Game 7. So it's pretty interesting to see how tight these teams are out west. I do think it's going to be a tough challenge against the Edmonton Oil Kings in the finals, but we'll see what the West can do there and hopefully make it an interesting series and obviously maybe surprise some people. But overall in the series with Seattle, it's tough, because I think the easy turning moment there was when the Hawks lost Tyson Kozak. I mean, that's your heart and soul guy. That's one of your co-captains. He's been a key contributor. He kind of does everything. He plays top line. He can shut down the opposing top line. He's number one power play unit. He's one of the top penalty killers on the team. He's always out there for last minute face-offs and key moments, both in the defensive end and offensive end. So he's really like your glue. And he's a guy that you build your, kind of your lineup around because of that. He's drafted by the Buffalo Sabres, and now you're in that limbo period in the offseason, like you do with junior hockey, of, are the Sabres going to sign him? Obviously, he's going to be going to camp next year. He could sign next year, in the fall and immediately jump into the AHL. He could be signing in 2 days. We don't know.
Right.
But I feel like losing him in that series was so massive. Because I know he played Game 6 and Game 7 on paper, but I think he got maybe 6 shifts combined between those two games. And obviously, he's just an absolute warrior for going back out there and playing through some of those bad injuries. And many players are. And I know there's still a ton of injuries happening with Seattle and Kamloops, and obviously some that you kind of hear about and see in the box scores when players are scratched. But others that you don't. Things get kept quiet, and you just don't know until after the season when you start getting some, texts or updates of this person's banged up or that person was banged up. So obviously it was a physical series. The team knew that. And it stinks because it was tough to find, goal scoring in that series. It was really hard to find it. Thomas Milic was good. Seattle was playing, really tight hockey. Bruins were too, but, they just fell literally one or two goals short in Game 5 or Game 6 to being able to move on. So, in those first two games, it was kind of a puck bounce here or there that if it went their way, they would have probably moved on. But then when you get to Game 7 and Seattle came in a better team, they've always played well here at the VMC, just like the Winterhawks have always played well at the Showair Center. And it just kind of shook up the way it did, where Seattle, took a massive lead and it was too much to overcome there for the Hawks. But, they gave it a heart. They had a couple of looking back. There was some good push there, I think, in the second period.
Yeah.
When they got the one, then they almost kind of I feel like they had one of the longest sustained shifts in the offensive zone I've seen all season. It was probably about 3 full minutes where they made 2 complete line changes and they still had possession of the puck, which is almost unheard of in hockey. But then the fact that you're thinking of that kind of shows how tired both teams are, because Seattle's not 100% at that point. They're playing banged up hockey too. So you get a little bit of that gutty playoff style hockey, and obviously you just tip your cap to Seattle. It stings because it's still even talking now that the wounds aren't healed on my end, because
right.
you look at the WHL box where you're looking at WHL Live and watch some games thinking, man, that could be this Winterhawks team right now. That could be me on the call. I could be driving to Kamloops right now preparing for Game 7. So it's still a little bit weird to let it all settle in. Honestly, it'll probably take a couple more weeks here, but from everything I know, I know all the players are going back home and they're doing well. And obviously, they're taking a couple days off from the rink as well and just trying to get their body right and their mind right. And then, obviously, you start prepping for next season. So the good news is, as hard of a series as it was, this is going to stick in everyone's mind, and not even in the back of the mind. It'll be front of mind. When they come into the Neely Cup training camp, it's going to be a different motivation, I feel, from this crew, because they don't want to have that happen again.
Yeah, and it's so funny you mentioned how the bounces sometimes go your way and sometimes go against you. I mean, Game 1 and Game 2, as you highlight, they get the bounces late in Game 1. They score the shorthanded goal in Game 2. And it's just, that can be hockey. Sometimes they're going with you. Sometimes they're going against you. And they're a couple of plays away from winning that series in 5 games at home. You just run into a hot goaltender, and Milic was playing great down the stretch of that series. And next thing you know, you look up, Seattle's a tremendous team, and they got hot at the right time and won 3 in a row. And they got a chance tonight, as you highlight, to punch their ticket to a WHL final, which would be cool for them, but it's not going to lessen the sting nonetheless for Portland, because you felt like you could have beaten that team. Let's talk about
Correct.
A couple of the 20s who played their last game and their careers are ended now in Portland. I know they all had different paths and different careers here, but just your thoughts on watching Jaden Durow, Clay Hannes, and Taylor Gauthier for one final time. 3 guys who, no matter how long they were here, had really big impact on this organization.
No doubt. I love those 3 men. I mean, you always talk about them as a player and what they do on the ice. And but, throughout their journeys, you get to see kind of how they grow from 15-year-olds into their 20-21s, So you get about 5 years of growth with these players, and you get to see how they mature and how their personality develops and all that. That's what makes this journey so special. And on the ice, 3 incredible, incredible hockey players. 2 of them right now, we know we're going to go pro. I would very well hope that we'll have a 3rd in Clay Hannes signing some kind of pro contract this summer. We're true leaders in the locker room. Taylor Gauthier was a player who, like you said, they came to different walks of life, but yeah, he had to grow up through the Prince George Cougars organization. He knew he'd have a chance. He kind of reflected on his last season thinking, well, there's Ty Young and Tyler Brenner right behind me. He's like, I wouldn't be surprised if the team moved me. Obviously, then they eventually did. He came to Portland, so he went to a playoff and a chance. defender. And then just how well he meshed into this group was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Obviously, even with the fan base, too, right? Like, the Cowboy Hat idea was kind of orchestrated there in the locker room. So he made his presence felt undoubtedly so inside the locker room. His numbers speak for himself. He's right. A professional contract for Portland. So that's pretty much all you want. Like, he's kind of the epitome of a success story and doing it all himself. And I think we reflected on this earlier, previous pass, but in case fans missed it, I think one of the most interesting notes heard, even from a hockey player in general, of being this candid, was he had an alarm set every single morning that it went off when he woke up the bed, and it said, work towards an NHL. Like, every single morning, your alarm is going off, and it says that, and that's like a reminder that pops up on his phone, and he did that. Like, that's such an amazing story that he was able to just, you know, put his blood, sweat, and tears and put everything on the ice to do that. And just a terrific, terrific young man. And, you know, I know the Winter Hawks organization, as is Prince George, and many WHL fans are going to look forward to seeing his success. And then Jaden DeRose, a player who comes in, wears his heart on his sleeve every single night, alternate captain for 2 years, just signed now with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he's officially going to be playing in Syracuse with their AHL affiliate next year, assuming he doesn't make the, you know, the NHL roster out of camp. But the Lightning are still playing, so there's a reason for Hawks fans to kind of keep an eye on. There's a, you know, a team in the Eastern Conference Final there in the Stanley Cup playoffs that has a little bit of a tie to the Winter Hawks. And of course, he's no stranger there. He started the season there, and he played the first dozen games, and, you know, missed, I think, 11 games it was, before he eventually had to fly to Kamloops to meet the team. And then he kind of was a part of the big reason why the team had a big turnaround. They went and they won 40 games of the 47 since December 1st. So literally one of the hottest teams in all of hockey. I don't care what level you're looking at, NHL, right. AHL, ECHL, WHL, QMJHL, you name it. Like, they were one of the best. And then Clay Hawness, man, what a ride he's had too. Come here as a 15-year-old kid in Neely Cup camp, loves it, signs here, gets some playoff experience, and gets to play on the wing with some NHLers at the, you know, who would become NHLers that very next season when he was going into his 16-year-old year. And then just quietly just bloomed, just absolutely exploded in this program and just became a terrific, terrific leader, very well deserving of wearing the captain CC. And I know there's big things next for Clay. Obviously, I don't know him now as the time of us talking, but you just feel it in your bones that he's going to get something good coming his way. And another player you're going to be able to root for, because he played 250-plus games with the Winter Hawks and had a, you know, in the end of things, a decent amount of playoff experience. I think ended up being just under 20. I think he almost hit 20 games, you know, which I know the Winter Hawks always like to see those playoff performers, because that shows sign of success from the team level, too, mm-hmm. if you get somebody who's orchestrating a lot of playoff wins. And that comes in which he didn't have two seasons to even play in the playoffs, and he had to go to Lincoln for 1 year. He came back even better. So it's just marvelous to see what they've been able to do and kind of overcome as well with different, you know, personal sides of their journey in the hockey world. And obviously, I know of us talking, they're going to be the first three to say they wish they were still out there playing, because, boy, that was an emotional Game 7 when they came out and they recognized those three stars. And that was kind of when I had my moment, too, in the broadcast booth, because you just see it on their faces and you get a chance to get to know them for 4 years and 5 years. And then, obviously, Taylor Gauthier, I knew of him for the last 4 years with Prince George and always knew he was a great character kid. Then you get the – you know, meet him as a young man, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, like, these guys have come such a long way. And those are really special moments. But I know the entire organization will be fully supportive behind them, and we're just excited to see what's next in their hockey careers and their personal endeavors, because, you know, once you're a Winter Hawk, you're always a Winter Hawk.
That's right. I mean, you mentioned the three-star thing after Game 7. That's such a classy thing for those 20-year-olds to have that chance to skate out there one last time and appreciate the crowd. I think it's something, and I remember even talking to Taylor and Clay about it on the podcast, like, does it sink in that this is it? And they don't want to go there mentally yet, because they plan on playing for a long time, and so it probably, you're planning on winning that Game 7, it doesn't go your way, and then you're looking looking up at the end of it like, I can't believe this is it. And as you point out with Taylor's story about, you know, wanting that NHL contract, of course, that's the ultimate goal for all these guys to get to that next level. But it's just amazing to think of all the players over the years that have big impacts on the community, that become household names for hockey fans in this area, and then getting to watch them one last time. Three guys that weren't all here for the same amount of time, but had great careers. And we wish them all the best in their future endeavors, as you're highlighting. And on the youth aspect of it, I think that was one thing we talked about going into the postseason, and Portland wasn't unique to this, that a lot of their guys didn't have playoff experience. Who were the guys that stood out to you during this playoff run? And maybe they did in the regular season as well, but we're talking about the season. Next year, we'll be here before we know it. Who were the guys that stood out to you that you just are saying, man, I cannot wait to see what that guy's bringing back to camp next year?
Ooh, that's a great question, Andy. I feel like there were different players who kind of stood up in different series. I think Gabe Claussen was probably one of the most consistent all playoffs long when considering of the players who could be returning next year. I was very impressed with how he kind of handled his first playoff experience. Ryder Thompson on the defensive side was one who stood out for me. He just quietly got so much better as the year progressed. It just became a much more confident WHL defenseman. And, you know, that's something that maybe will catch some attention from some NHL scouts here in a couple of months. We'll obviously see. But even if it doesn't happen this summer, he's going to have such a bright future ahead in Portland, because, I mean, honestly, the play that he started from day one to where he ended up on game 77 or whatever it was marvelous. So I was really impressed by Ryder Thompson's game. Kyle Chyzowski was a player who came in some big moments there in the Seattle series in particular. I really enjoyed his play kind of towards the second half there of that Hawks playoff run. And, you know, a little bit of a combo that was outstanding, I thought, and didn't necessarily fly under the radar, but wasn't, you know, necessarily lighting up the stat sheet with points, was Jack O'Brien and Marcus Nguyen. I thought those two had some unbelievable chemistry. They were playing the perfect role for that third line. They were throwing bodies. They were going hard into the forecheck battles. They were just really being pests, and they were playing that role so well. That's just going to kind of give them the extra energy going in the next year. And they're two players who can score. But they just weren't called upon to do that in this series. They wanted to be more of that energizer role, and that's exactly what they brought. So those are kind of five players that, on top of my mind, really stood out. And it's fun because now you kind of play all right, let's piece it all together. What's the team going to look like next year? How are things going to go? You know, in hindsight, there's a decent chance that you'll still have Tyson Kozak and Cross Hannes at the very least here for Neely Cup. So at least the fans want to see them on the ice here in the Winter Hawks jersey for, who knows, maybe the final time. Right. You know, that's a great time to come back and see them. Otherwise, they could be potential 20-year-olds coming back to the Winter Hawks next year if their pro organizations decide to. And they're such a good group to take within the next year. And the defensive side's going to be loaded. I think there's going to be some very interesting decisions there, because I feel like there's about 9 signed defensemen going into this offseason, which is hard. You're only losing Clay Hannes, who aged out. So otherwise, you get a whole wealth of experience back there, albeit still a little bit younger. You still have all those 17-year-olds who are now just going to be 18-year-olds. So they're going to have 2 more full years at least in the WHL, if not the 3 full years, right, as they go into their 20-year-old season. So you kind of get this nice pipeline now where you get to take all these younger guys and build them up together, and then they're going to be a core here for the Hawks for the next 3 seasons.
Yeah, that's exciting to think about where they're going to be defensively and how good that group really kind of molded as the year went on, and all those young guys having big impacts. And when you're in a system like this, it's amazing their ability to just kind of replay star player with star player and bring the next wave of guys up. And they've been in the postseason for a long, long time now, so many years in a row for Mike Johnson. So you know they're going to be right back there next year. And speaking of the pipeline, did anything stand out to you draft-wise? I know it was hard probably for some Hawks fans to follow because you're so, you know, in that pain from losing games. Game 7, but then you fast forward immediately into a draft, and it's like the very next day, it's like, hey, all right, here's all these new players that Portland is welcoming. Anything stand out to you draft-wise? I know it was tough with the emotions of Game 7, but what was that week like for you?
No, a couple things stood out for sure. The team added 13 new prospects to their player pool, so welcome more members to the family now as some leave your list. So, like the way that works for fans who maybe are unaware, obviously, you get a 50-man protected list, so you get your rostered players, and then you have the extra prospects who are either signed or unsigned that you could just kind of hold on to. So when a guy like a Clay Hannes, who just finished his 20-year-old season, now moves on, it opens up a roster spot or a protected list spot to be able to fill him in with. So there's kind of all those shufflings on the hockey operation side of things that obviously aren't always public and kind of are pretty day by day. It allows you a chance to add in new players, and this is where the drafts come in, because I think there were a couple notables. They added two really good American-born players in the WHL U.S. priority draft the day after the season ended. So it was pretty much, you had to swallow the pill of losing a game seven, then you get a quick 6-hour nap, what felt like, and you're back in the office and getting ready for the draft. And two players that go there in Lindbergh and Core, who were 1 and 2 on the team's board going into the draft, and they got him at their pick selections there in the 20s. So, the guys that somehow slid and were missed by others that now come to Portland. So that's kind of promising to have them in the pool. And obviously, hopefully they'll want to become Winter Hawks once they get to check out their first Neely Cup. And then the next day, and that basic in the more normal WHL prospects draft, Bucks had one of their first years with a first round pick. Actually, the first time they had it since 2018 when they drafted Gabe Claussen.
Right.
So we just highlighted Claussen as a player who really impressed me during the playoffs. Who was it before then? It was Seth Jarvis.
Not bad.
Who was it before then? It was Cody Glass.
Okay.
Who was it before them? Nick Kattan. Like, they don't miss on first round picks. It's been incredible. And then Graham Jones now was the first round pick, 18th overall by the Hawks this past year. So another promising young player who the Winter Hawks are really looking forward to see him grow and hopefully welcome him to the organization sometime soon and get him to sign with the Hawks. And, it's a player that at his level put up over 80 points during the regular season. So he's a high scoring player. I remember when I talked with Mike Coughlin, they said how versatile he was, where he could play at the center, or he could play the wing. He could do different roles. So obviously that's kind of what the Hawks like to have, right? Like, you get some guys that could play in different positions and different situations. So I think he's kind of the right fit for Portland. And I did see some other WHL scouts that kind of agreed with me when I was looking online and obviously enjoyed the Winter Hawks draft. It was a successful one. There were a lot of players taken. Hawks had a lot of early picks this year. So, you'll get to see those in probably earliest 2 years. Into the WHL, so it's a little bit harder to keep tune on it and be like, oh, this guy's going to be here tomorrow.
Right.
That's not always the case, because they still probably need one more year to grow in that under 16 level before they become a full-time Winter Hawk. But, gives you a little glance at the future, and obviously I keep alluding to Neely Cup because that's the easiest thing to do right now, but that's where you kind of get a gauge of, who's that guy? Who's on Team Hossa wearing number 42? That's when the fans can kind of enjoy getting a chance to, like, look up these new prospects and kind of put a real person behind the name and, what they read online. So it's exciting for the future here for the Hawks. I think they got a really good pool. I know the hockey operations side and the scouting staff was very, very pleased with their draft and how it went. And obviously it's a haul because you go right from playing a game, game right. Six on Monday, you come back for a game seven on Tuesday. Both those end up in losses. Then you're drafting on Wednesday and Thursday. So it was definitely a lot to juggle. But now looking back, I think there's going to be some nice player signings probably coming in the very near future. So I think Hawks fans can keep an eye out for that. And then, then you just kind of have your list. You keep an eye on them during the summer. They go through their offseason regiment and you focus in on, what you can for next year.
Yeah, it is funny. You point out that first-round draft pick history for this organization. The scouts know what they're doing, man. It's always exciting to see the names because you just know the history of what those guys have turned into, not only at the WHL level, but now at the NHL level as well with a lot of them. It's incredible what they've been able to put together. And there's the next group and the next names that are coming up on that list. What does the offseason look like for Nick Merrick? What's on your agenda this offseason?
You know what? Probably going to be gearing up for next year. Have a nice couple vacations with my wife and family.
There you go.
Here during the summertime, so I'll take care of that in probably June and July months just to get that full reset. Hopefully you and I are out there on the links golfing sometime, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely we'll get out there and play.
But then it's just kind of creating the buzz and keeping things going, and I'll go to the NHL draft in Montreal in July. That's something I always like to do. Since I started working in the industry and just being able to get a chance there to go there and experience that live. And then, of course, hopefully see a couple of Winter Hawks names get selected there on day two of the draft. So that's coming up in a little over 2 months, or maybe a little under 2 months, whatever. No, a little over a month.
Yeah.
I don't even know what day it is right now. we're almost in June, but that's July, 6th and 7th or 7th and 8th, something like that. So that's coming up real quick. Yeah, that's basically my plans. And obviously, it was going to be watching some more Stanley Cup playoffs, and I definitely want to tune into the Memorial Cup because we haven't had that in 3 years. I'm sure I'll be dialed in again to the WHL Finals, at least keeping an eye on what happens there of the winner of Seattle and Kamloops against Edmonton. But boy, how about the Stanley Cup Finals too, or the Stanley Cup playoffs rather? And Seth, I was watching obviously Carolina Hurricanes. I was very dialed into that because of Seth and Nino, and obviously Seth being a big one. And Walt Ruff was there too, and he's now their new head team editor for all their web content.
Yeah.
and kind of trying to cheer them on and see what happens there. And boy, Seth Jarvis, we were just talking about first round picks for the Winterhawks. He was probably the best forward for Carolina. And yeah. I know obviously I do have a biased umbrella being with the Winterhawks, but I think if I could put that aside, I think a lot of people would probably agree that maybe if he wasn't the best forward, he was easily one of the top two. And then he went out in their game seven and seemed like a whole dynamic change. But that's an absolute just insane what he's able to do. I think he took a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot to the place nobody wants to get hit.
took
a stick right to the face and then took a clean hit, but a tough hit on game seven against the New York Rangers. Then kind of a tough visual there, but took three injuries in the series and just kept going out there every
chest
and was putting all on the line. So you love the energy of that guy, and I hope he gets to at least enjoy some deserved off time too. But that I was really looking forward to hopefully seeing them in the Eastern Conference Final, but obviously that's not the case.
Yeah, it is funny how you bring up Jarvis here too, because watching him in the playoffs was so fun, and it almost kind of encapsulates the entire year for Portland, where you go from the start of the year, everybody on their countdown to when is Seth Jarvis going to return, how many more games until he's back, and that was kind of the waiting game, right, early in the year, and then you find out he's not coming back, and you're like, man, this could be kind of a tough year. You're not going to have your top scorer, like a top 10 pick in the draft, coming back. Everybody figured he would be back in Hawks uniform. And then for them to go on that run, despite him not coming back, it kind of sums up how special of a year it was. And I know it's still painful the way they lost in the playoffs, but still such a special year to think that Jarvis is going to be there. He's not going to be there yet. You still end up, a game away from going to the conference finals in the West, man. It is wild. And it was a bummer to see him and Nino lose. I'm with you. I was pulling for those guys to get to the conference final. That would have been cool.
I know, 100%. Well, now you get to enjoy some alumni thing. I know one from fans, Joel Hofer, is still doing some big things there in Springfield in the AHL Calder Cup playoffs in the conference championship series right now. So he's one of the final four teams remaining. So keep an eye on Springfield. We'll be rooting for him. But I believe in terms of in the NHL and AHL playoffs, that's the only Hawk Winterhawk alum we could cheer for. And honestly, Andy, I'm still sounding shell-shocked. I don't know if it was Memorial Day weekend, just getting some nice barbecue in yesterday, but yeah. What are we now, 15, 16 days removed from playing Game 7? And it still feels weird to talk about, because it still feels like we should be in the thick of things.
Yeah.
So I know fans realize this too, but it's as much painful in the office to have a season like this come to an end as it is for the fans, because it's not something you expect. You don't want to plan for this, right? Like, nobody ever plans for a season end, but it has to. And I hope all the fans, too, just tuning in and sticking it out for the rest of this podcast, they stay in touch, they stay active with us, and drop us some emails or some notes on social. We'll get those to the right people. And hopefully summer goes smooth. And it's crazy, though. At least the only good news, Andy, I will say this. At least it looks like Portland weather is starting to change.
There you go.
I will very much enjoy that.
It is funny. And my only rooting interest left in the Stanley Cup playoffs is against Nathan MacKinnon, because I'm still scarred of what he did to Portland in the Memorial Cup all those years ago, man. I still haven't talked about getting over something. I still haven't got over that. So go Connor McDavid. I'd love to see Edmonton punch your ticket to a Stanley Cup final. It is... You highlighted how the Neely Cup will be here before we know it, and not having fans the last couple of years, how great that will be. Like, that's the other part of this that I'm reminding myself of. At least it feels like we finally have a full normal off-season plan in place, and we're going to start next year, and it's going to be like things are back to normal. I know they were at the end of this year, but it's funny to think back to where we were a year ago, or where we were when the Hawks were starting this season last year, and where the fans not being allowed in, and then finally being allowed in, but not being in full numbers because people didn't feel comfortable. Like, it's just, it'll be amazing and great, I think, to go into an off-season, go into the start of next year. Things are back to normal. Neely Cup's here. Go watch the prospects. Like, just that aspect of it on top of the Portland weather, I think, has me feeling encouraged about the off season.
Oh, 100%. And I guess the last note I could add to that, too, is it's going to be a very, very short offseason, because you're thinking when the Winterhawks were still playing in round two against Seattle, I was seeing all these, you know, memories pop up from different teams and people I follow and other media members saying, oh, this year, you know, today, 10 years ago, so-and-so won the championship.
Yeah.
Today, 12 years ago, somebody else won. So, you know, usually it's the Memorial Cup happening like now, but everything got pushed back to the COVID situation a couple extra weeks, which is why this is going to make it a really speedy offseason. Because you think about it, I don't even know if it's 100 days into an offseason. Like it's going to feel like 2 months and then teams are coming back. You basically have June and July, and then August, they're here. You know, you're gearing up for camp. So at least we have that to look forward to as well, that it's just going to be a fast summer and just get right back onto the ice.
Amen to that, buddy. Well, hey, I can't thank you enough for these all year. You've been awesome. I've enjoyed every single one of these conversations. I'm glad you got a couple of vacations planned for this offseason. Lord knows you deserve it after all that bus travel. So go enjoy some downtime, enjoy some time with the wife at home. And before we know it, we're going to be dialing this thing back up, talking Neely Cup. I cannot wait. But thanks for all year, buddy. It's been a blast.
Hey, appreciate you as always. And to the Hawks fans, as always, baby, go Hawks.
All right. Thanks again to Nick Merrick for hopping on, not only in this episode, but every single one. It has been a joy to get to talk to him throughout the course of the season. And I know Hawks fans, it just wasn't the ending that we wanted. It was a tremendous season. You had that 3-1 series lead in the second round, feeling like this was going to be it. And I know being there at game 5 and being there at game 7, they were painful losses to suffer through. But not the ending you wanted. I think now that we've had a little time to let it settle and realize it's the off season, let's start looking ahead to next year, you can be appreciative of the season that Portland had. I mean, it's remarkable to go all the way back, as Nick and I were just talking about there, to thinking Seth Jarvis is going to be on this roster and then realizing, wait a minute, no, he's not. He's sticking with Carolina in the NHL this year, and really not sure what this Hawks team was going to be and how they were going to come together and how they were going to play. They get off to a really slow start at the beginning of the season. To go from that to then winning 40 out of 47 games once the calendar hit December, I know you mark successful seasons in the outcome of the end of the year and what you do in the playoffs, but that's a stretch and a run of hockey that I will not forget for a very long time. To be that good, that consistently good for that long, to climb themselves out of the hole and have it, you know, a chance at finishing with the best overall record in the West in the last week and a half of the season, a remarkable turnaround. It was a ton of fun to watch. And now I think you look towards the future of the benefit that you're going to have from this playoff run, and that is a lot of young guys who had to step up and play bigger roles, play different roles, and get that postseason experience for the first time in their WHL careers. I mean, it's one of those sad things about the COVID-shortened season and the, you know, 2 years ago and then last year not having playoffs. It's just a lot of guys that didn't have that normal growth through the system and those normal experiences that the 16, 17, 18-year-old kids would have. Now they finally got that postseason experience, and I do think down the road that's going to pay dividends for these guys, and you know Portland's going to be back and better than ever next year. But doesn't take the pain away from a loss. Still a ton of fun to watch this team this year in a tremendous season. Just a couple of plays away from going to the conference finals, unfortunately, coming up just short. I do want to take a quick moment before I wrap up here. I know a lot of you Hawks fans, you get to know the staff behind the scenes, and you've gotten to know Nick and some of the other folks involved with the organization. I'll just say you're not going to find a nicer group of people behind the scenes and who are more dedicated and hardworking than the staff that they have over there at the Winterhawks headquarters. They do tremendous work throughout the course of the season. I'm very thankful for them and all the efforts they put in and trusting me to do this podcast throughout the course of the season. It has been so much fun to put together. It's been so much fun to get a chance to talk to the players and the coaches and get you the kind of behind the scenes look at this team and the year that they had. So for all of you that have tuned in throughout the course of the season, a sincere and hearty thank you for tuning into the Portland Winterhawks podcast. Hopefully we'll get this thing dialed up and we'll get this thing rolling again next year for the Neely Cup. I'll keep you up to date on the plans on social media and all that. But thanks again to all of you for listening, to Nick Merrick, one of the nicest guys in the entire hockey industry, broadcasting industry. I've met a lot of people over the years, and he's one of the nicest ones. And getting a chance to work with him on every single one of these episodes has been a lot of fun. So thanks again to Nick, to all the listeners, to everybody at the Hawks organization. Enjoy your off season, everybody. The Neely Cup will be here before we know it. And as always, go Hawks. And him and said, yes, you can. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.